Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Text anytime 0487 736 736. Right across Western Australia. You're listening to The Run Home with Hayes and Marto.
Welcome back to The Run Home. Let's go through our tips for this round of footy, round 8 tonight. It's the Crows taking on Port Adelaide. As I said off the top, I'm going to go with the Adelaide Crows to win this one by 25 points.
Adelaide by 11 for me.
Can't trust Adelaide. Port will win in a close one. I'm going to go 10.
Rory Laird to get 35 and also win the medal. Carlton and Collingwood, I think with the big outs for Collingwood, geez, this would put a dent in their season if Carlton could do it. And I think they're going to do it. Carlton for me.
Collingwood for me. And I reckon they'll win by 4 goals.
Carlton for me.
Sydney and the Giants. Giants for me.
Sydney for me. They're playing at the SCG, aren't they?
Yeah.
Sydney. I reckon they'll squeeze GWS.
Geez, this is going to be a good game of football. I'm going to say the Giants because I actually think they're the best team in the league right now. And Green and Taylor back. Huge ins.
Jimmy Saints taking on North Melbourne. Blockbuster this one. Oh, be ready. This would have to be at the bottom end of the scale.
If you're looking to go for a walk over the weekend and you don't want to watch all 9 games, 2:35.
But tune in, AFL Nation. They will be calling this game. They'll do a terrific job.
Yep.
Saints will win.
They couldn't possibly lose, could they?
They could possibly.
I'm going with Melbourne to beat the Cats.
Hang on. You didn't let Pete say
it. He said it. They couldn't possibly.
Yeah, I'm going with the Saints.
They have to win, don't they?
Melbourne to beat the Cats for me.
Where's this one? At the G? They're not favourites, Hayes. You're going outsiders this round.
Yeah, the other team's undefeated until the end of this round.
Nah.
Geelong for me.
Geelong will be too good for the...
You're saying GWS is the best team in the comp.
Right now,
mate,
I said.
Right, I reckon Geelong are the best team in the comp.
Yeah, that's a fair call. I'm actually really worried about the D's. Really worried about the D's. And that's why I think Geelong will win.
Bombers to get there against the Eagles, 20-odd points.
Will be a close game. Essendon will win.
Yeah, Essendon will win.
Fremantle against Richmond, they'll get a scare, but I think they'll get home.
Well, they need to win these games, Fremantle, and I think Fremantle will win.
I think Jai Amos is very important to their structure and what they do, so I think it'll be the Dockers by about 3 or 4 goals.
They haven't played many games at the MCG. If my memory serves me correct, they haven't performed too badly.
They play well there.
Yeah, yeah. They haven't performed too badly.
Bulldogs taking on the Hawks, another blockbuster.
Who's that?
Bulldogs and the Hawks.
Who are they? I reckon the Bulldogs will bounce back.
They have to win this, don't they, the Bulldogs? Imagine if they lose this.
They've got to show some fight, though.
You know what I said yesterday?
Sam Mitchell was going bonkers last week.
I think the Hawks will come. I reckon they'll do all right in this one.
They'll put up a fight. I don't know if they'll be good enough. Hugo Hagen's a big in for the Doggies. They've got a debutant in Charlie Clark. Libba's back.
Is Rory Lobb hold his place in the side?
As it stands, he's in the squad, but it's only a squad. Because it's a Sunday game, so...
You wouldn't think so. Too tall.
No, I wouldn't think so.
Hagen and Darcy's playing really well. And, of course, they're ruckman in Tim English. Brisbane and the Gold Coast Suns. I'm going the upset. I think Gold Coast can win.
I reckon Brisbane will win a canter.
Oof.
There you go.
Really?
Yeah. I reckon
you're not a fan of Gold Coast.
I don't rate the Suns at the moment. They've got a couple of very exciting youngsters.
They're good in Queensland.
But they're young. And they're playing where? At the Gabba?
Yep.
No, Brisbane will win easy, I reckon.
I don't know if they'll win easy. I hear what you're saying, Pete. I'm going to say, Brisbane.
Pound for pound, Brisbane are a better team.
Brisbane in a close one, in a game that will really, if they lose, they're done. If they win, they're alive. And that's the same for the Crows tonight, really. Long season. Where are we? Round 8.
So who
are
you tipping, Jim?
Brisbane.
Good.
In a close one. I said that.
Who's won the Ultimate Sports Snack Pack, courtesy of the Jerky Co. Save a victory with
a lot of jerky.
I love jerky.
Yeah, I love my jerky.
Who do you give it to, Jim?
I don't have the text machine in front of me, boys. Who do you think's been the best text? There's been a few good text messages
today. There's been a few
today.
That have sent through. They haven't put their name to it, eh, Connor? Unbelievable.
There's been a few people that have texted through today. What do you think, Hayes?
Carlos has given us a few good ones, but I think he won one in recent times, didn't he?
He won a prize recently.
Well, this was your job, Jim.
Go out.
I don't have the text machine. What do you think, Connor?
Who was the guy that gave us a hard time, Pete?
But he didn't put his name to
it. No, he did.
Did he?
Yeah.
There was some guy up in Newman, I think, who was listening to the program. Yeah, Connor says some guy up in Newman.
Okay.
Jeff from Pepe Beach.
What, Jeff Newman?
No, it wasn't Jeff Newman, but Jeff from Pepe Beach, who's so, texted through okay. and gave us
Jeff,
a hard time.
So Jeff
that if
from,
Harley Reid got injured, we'd be saying that they should have given him a rest.
So Jeff okay. from Pepe Beach wins that $150 prize pack thanks to the Jerky Co. Hayes.
Thanks to the Jerky cool. Co. And we did have one from Lisa in Allenbrook as well. Cannot believe the hype and conspiracy theory surrounding Harley Reid not playing. Everyone needs to back off and let the guy breathe. Enjoy his football and WA. So thank you, Lisa, for sending that through. Take it or leave it. I've got a couple here. Take it or leave it. Tanya Buckley got it right. Of course, the news out today that Nathan Buckley sold $200,000 worth of memorabilia, his memorabilia.
What did she get right?
Well, normally in a settlement, you'd say keep, obviously, all of your memorabilia. She's taken it in the court settlement and said, no, it's all got to go to auction. So she's actually done pretty well. Normally it's 50-50. She's made $100,000. Is yeah. it worth going through that for $100,000?
No,
yeah, probably. Depends how desperate you are for a little bit of money. I don't know.
But there's not many players out there that their memorabilia is worth that much. And remember,
but he had a lot of items he was selling.
He had a lot. He kept the Copeland trophies. He kept the Brownlow medal.
Couldn't believe the amount of items he had. He had multiple.
He could have sold it for $400,000 if he had sold some of those items.
So what was it? $200,000. They probably sold 200 items at $1,000 each on average.
Yeah, I wouldn't have thought it would have been a very nice process for anyone in the Buckley family. Hey, so
and I'm just wondering how Nathan Buckley feels about it too. He had to do it, but you know, anyway.
Take it or leave it, Bailey Scott would like a few more wins in his career. Right now he's got 9 from how many, do you reckon? I'll throw it out to you. 9 from how many?
I reckon Bailey Scott, I saw him debut here when I worked at the other joint up the road. I reckon he's played 72 games.
Pete?
60?
9 from 85.
He's really?
So he's going at 11%, the worst in the history of the game to get to a certain amount of games. I think it's 50-plus games.
Wow, there you go.
He'd like some more. He'd like some more. This caught my attention. Sorry, Pete. And
I've got a couple to throw your way.
This is a quick one that I heard this today and it really caught my attention. Taylor Adams speaking on a podcast earlier today.
I was pretty disappointed by, you know, the feedback and the transparency that I got from Collingwood throughout the year. There was a bit of misalignment from, you know, coach to coach and what I was getting told. And I sort of got played, you know, out of position where I wasn't playing that well. And you do start thinking about, you know, I'm out of contract at the end of 24. You know, are they in a nice way, are they phasing me out? And it felt a lot like that. And I met with Roddy and Fly. I just sort of laid out, you know, how I was feeling with my career. And Fly basically said, look, nothing's going to really change next year. We think you do a great job in the role that you're playing. And I thought, to be honest, I sort of thought it was just blowing in my ass.
Yeah.
Like, if you ask anyone, I was playing my role for the team, but I was definitely replaceable. After that meeting, I was left a little bit frustrated because I didn't mention to them that at that time that I'd met with Sydney. So I called Roddy the next day and had another conversation with him and said, I need more clarity. I've met with another club and I'm going to explore my options. And he was really supportive. He said, I'm not going to trade you and you're staying. You're a Collingwood person. And I appreciated that more than he'll ever know. But yeah, I actually didn't hear from Fly at all.
Jesus.
Again, which hurt me. And the nature of the business is if I can't add value to that footy club, then he should have called me and had the hard conversation, but I can understand why he didn't. He just won a flag. He just had a baby. There's a lot going on.
Yeah.
And I don't have any hard feelings about it.
Take it or leave it, Hayes. Taylor Adams made the right call based on the information he had available.
Oh, take it from a football perspective, absolutely. And I probably was in that similar position where you know you're getting phased out within a team. It's hard for players to actually take it all in. And I noticed last year and the year before that, he wasn't playing in the midfield. He was playing high half forward. And There's always been a word in the AFL industry, probably not as much now, but once you get moved to the forward line as a midfielder, the next place is out of the team. Like, that's the last chance saloon that you have. And I feel for him because he was a big part of that club for a long time, and he would be hurting so much because his body failed him at the last minute. He would have played in that grand final team had he not done his hamstring. So there would be a bit of pain associated with that. But he's going to have the same challenge too, I believe, when Luke Parker comes back for the Sydney Swans to maintain a position in that team, because Callum their Mills. Midfield's deep as well.
Yeah.
Callum Mills, James Jordan.
Interesting comments about McRae, like not contacting the player through that period. But sometimes, you know, as a coach, you've just got to keep your distance a little bit, particularly if they were phasing him out. And I think they probably were. If you look at their list profile, when you win a premiership and have your success, you've got to make some tough calls on some players. And I think he was one that they were happy to let
go. Okay. Just regarding coaches, a lot of them are now at ground level. Okay. The head coach is in the bunker on the bench with the players and whoever else is down there. How much of the decision-making process does he make during a game? Is it all left to him, or there are others that are perched in a lofty position suggesting we need to do this?
Others would play a part. There's some that are down
there. So the head
coach
hasn't got total responsibility for the decisions that are made on the day.
There'd be some that are made without his permission, but there'd be others that are made where he gets the final call. They throw up the suggestions and he gets the final call.
Okay, the other thing that I thought about, because it's all changed, the head coach is not the man that lives and dies now by the decisions that are made. It is now a group decision. Yep. Many, many years ago, there used to be a role in football called the captain coach. In other words, the captain used to play. He was also the coach of the team. Take it or leave it, is there a role, like a Scott Pendlebury, hypothetically, or someone of that ilk who is an experienced player, that during the game, he becomes the captain coach? He instructs the players exactly what needs to be done in the field of battle, stopping all these runners coming on and doing what they have to do. One guy takes control while the game's on, and then at quarter time, the coaching staff get together and say, okay, we need to reset and do this and do this. It got me thinking, you know, because I saw a WAFL game last Thursday, East Perth and Perth, where Ross McQueen put a huge amount of onus on the players to give him the information. And one of the most outspoken players in that huddle was Hamish Brayshaw. Now, for mine, Hamish Brayshaw could run that team on the field and then revert back to meetings at quarter time, half time, three quarter time. Thoughts?
Well, I don't think there's much that players and coaches do in a game of footy. Like, besides maybe dropping a number behind the ball to stop momentum, maybe changing the style of ball movement.
Because the rotations are set, aren't they?
Rotations are set, absolutely. And look, not always fully set, but there'd be some that they make up on the day and throughout the contest. But dropping numbers behind the ball, changing the ball movement structure. So if you do you're protecting a lead, you want to just protect it late in the game. Outside of that, I don't think the coach has much to do.
And the runner just goes to that individual.
Yeah, so the individual, there would be some captains and individuals that have permission that if they notice something, to call something, whether that be quickly to drop a winger further into defence at a certain stage in a game to protect a lead or to stop a run on, they would have the licence to be able to do that, I would have thought.
Jimmy?
I hear what you're saying. I mean, it happens at, you know, at A-grade level where you have player coaches. Don't think it'll ever... It won't change, obviously, in the AFL, but I understand what you're saying. And I got frustrated at this probably a month ago when I think it was Brisbane were basically losing a game. I think they were playing Melbourne and they didn't change their game plan until the fourth quarter. By then it was too late. You need on-field leadership, but in the sense of it being a captain coach, it won't change, but we'll see how it goes moving forward.
Good work. Big show tomorrow, but what's on the menu coming up? You can't have footy without a 4-20 pie coming up on AFL Nation. It's a massive game of footy. The showdown from Adelaide. Your call team is Adam White, John Donohoe and Dermot Burton. Footy fans for generations have enjoyed a 4-20 pie as part of the ritual of the game. Thank you to all the techs, Mullaloo and Newman and Evan. We do appreciate that. Carlos, Tucky, all the regulars. Let's do it again tomorrow, hopefully after a great showdown.
Text anytime 0487 736 736. Right across Western Australia. You're listening to The Run Home with Hayes and Mardo.